as we get ready to end the year and look towards the next year. You know, our last service of 2022, hard to believe how this year has gone, how this year has flown by. And I hope to just give you a few things to think about tonight. But if you're there in Haggai 1, we'll read a few verses tonight. But we'll start off in verse number 5. And we'll just read that one verse to get started tonight. It says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." I'm going to read that verse again if you read those last three words with me out loud. So now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, it's a great thought, which is interesting. That great thought is simply this: to think. You know, as we get to the end of the year, as we look back maybe on a lot of the blessings of this past year, I know we often do it with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we like to look back at the year. Maybe some of you, you'll get some pictures that will start showing up on your phone, maybe just some memories that you've had, and we'll start thinking, wow, what a year 2022 really was. I just want to challenge you for a few minutes, not just to think about all the good things, but really just to consider your ways this past year. You know, what does that mean? You know, what was the prophet telling the children of Israel here in God's Word? But what does that mean for us tonight? What should we consider? And I just real briefly want to give you three things to consider as we wrap up this year. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Lord, we love you. I thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that we can be in church tonight. That, Lord, through the hustle and bustle, busyness of this season, that, Lord, we can just come to your house, we can be refreshed, we can be encouraged by your word. And, Lord, I pray that you would do just that tonight, that you refresh us, encourage us through the time in your word, through the time of prayer. Lord, may you be lifted up, may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we all have heard the phrase, hindsight is 20/20. Now, we don't like to hear that phrase when somebody else is telling us that to us, because it usually means we made a mistake. But sometimes we like to use that phrase, well, hindsight is 20/20. We all know what that means, is that looking back on something is a lot easier than making the right decision in the first place. And I think of maybe some of my hindsight is 20/20 or hindsight's always 20/20 moments. I think of me and my GPS here. Now, you're going to get some laughs right from over here, because my sister and my wife are both apart of these trips here. But when me and Lauren were dating, just outside, I think we were actually 2020, our senior year, we were dating. I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she lived in Asheville. And so we decided when we were home doing online school that we were going to visit each other here and there. And so her parents were going to bring her halfway, and me and my sister were going to drive halfway. We're going to pick her up and head back to Raleigh for a few days just to spend some time together. And I remember as we got on the road, me and my sister drove a few hours, picked her up, and then quickly just opened up my GPS and tapped on one of the addresses that I saw. I thought I tapped on my home address, and we just started driving. And of course, we hadn't seen each other for a few weeks. We're just talking away, glad to see each other, talking about probably who knows what. And we're on the road, and I see a sign on the side of the road that says Statesville, North Carolina. And I'm pretty sure I said out loud, I don't remember Statesville being so close to home. And then I was like, well, that's because it's not so close to home. And I pulled up my GPS, and I quickly noticed that when I went to tap my home address, I had like these two saved addresses. One says home, the next one said school. I tapped the school address, and I drove for the wrong way for about 45 minutes to an hour. You know, as we turned around and got back, and that's an easy one to say, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I should have just looked at my GPS and taken my time. But I didn't. You know, now I'm a little ashamed to say this, but that was not the only time that happened. I'm trying to remember. Oh, another time that happened is Laura and I were driving up, actually just last year, this past year was in March. We were driving up to the Wilds Christian Camp for the Youth Workers Conference. We're looking forward to just a good few days of learning. I think it was on counseling. We had a great time. But as we're driving up, I typed in Wilds Christian Camp, hit it, thought we were good to go, started driving. We get going. We stop at a gas station. I look, and I was like, why are we heading to Greenville? Something is not right here. And she said, do you know that there's two addresses for the Wilds? They have an office in Greenville, and we're not going the right way. And I quickly realized I added, I think, about an hour to our time. You know, it's another hindsight is always 20/20. I should have just looked at it, made sure that it was the right thing to do. Now, thankfully, We didn't make it all the way to college the first time, and we didn't make it all the way to Greenville, even though I think we got pretty close. But you know, I learned a valuable lesson that even looking back on those things, hey, it's always best to sit and check your GPS. And I'm sure we've all made mistakes, and hopefully they're as harmless as those ones where maybe you waste a little bit of time and a little bit of gas. But we've all made mistakes where we've heard that phrase, hindsight is always 20/20. It's always easy to focus on something after you've passed it. It's a good time when you've already made the mistake, oh, I see where I went wrong. But sometimes, unless it's a big mistake that grabs our attention, we don't tend to like to look at the past. We don't always like to look back at the year and think of, oh man, what were some things that maybe I could have done better? You know, we'll look forward here in a few weeks. Some of you will start your New Year's resolutions, and if you're like me, they may stick for a few months. They may stick halfway through the year. If you're better than me, which you probably are, you'll make it the whole year as far as New Year's resolutions go. But we'll look forward to the new year, and we'll look forward to making good decisions. But right now, in this time, in the next few days, is a great time to look back on the past year and to consider a few things about our life. It's a good time to take notice real quick, to look at some of the decisions, some of the ways that we've lived, some of our priorities, and to see, is this exactly what God had for me this past year? Now, sometimes that's a great thing to do, and we're highly encouraged when we can say, yeah, you know what, I feel like I've done some really good things this year in following God. I feel like I've made some good steps. I feel like I've grown this year. Sometimes that's a difficult thing to do. To look and see, oh, you know what, I think I need to make some changes for this next year. Here we find the children of Israel here in Haggai chapter 1 is God has to wake them up for just a minute and say, hey, consider your direction of where you are right now. God seemingly throws a few things in their face to look at where they say, hey, consider what you're doing. Consider the direction that you're heading. Look at what you're doing and make some changes. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 as we look at this story and what is God telling them to consider. In verse 1, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This time period was just after some of the remnants of Israel were leaving the Babylonian captivity and they were going back to Israel. If you think of Nehemiah and Ezra, this is not too long after that, where children of Israel are coming back to the promised land after the captivity. And essentially, they had two jobs. The first one was to build the walls, and then was to build the house of God. What gives this timeline, it really what it's telling us is that some time has passed, that this group has been back to the promised land. They've had their job. They know what God has called them to do. And here in Haggai specifically, to rebuild the house of God. And some time has passed that they are not taking care of what God has called them to take care of. And God sends this prophet to say, Israel, consider your ways. Israel, there's something going on here that maybe it's because you're distracted, maybe it's because your priorities are out of place, but maybe it's because of another reason that maybe you're just being disobedient to God, but you are not where you should be. God says, consider your ways. That word, consider, it means to look inward and to establish, determine, fix, or even transform. The idea of considering is to look, is to in retrospect, to look at our own lives and to establish, determine, fix, or even transform our ways. That word ways, it gives the understanding of journey, a path, direction, or a manner or course of life. As the prophet delivers this message to the children of Israel, he's telling them to think about it and to fix it when it comes to their way of living there in the promised land. What he's essentially telling them to do is, hey, figure out where you've gone wrong. Make a decision to change your course of life so that you can do what is right. God tells them, hey, you're supposed to be building the house of God, and we can see that some time is passing. It's not getting done. It's time to consider your ways. It's time to make a change, to look inside and see where you've gone wrong, and to get back to doing what God has called you to do. This three-word command is very simple, yet profound at the same time. We all would be wise whether we feel that we're doing great in God's will or whether we feel that we're struggling in obeying God's will. Whether we feel like we've had a wonderful 2022 or whether we feel like, oh, we've made some bad decisions in 2022. Whether we feel like we're facing in a good direction for the next year or whether we feel like maybe we're not so sure about our direction next year. We all would do well to consider our course of life before we head into the new year. Maybe some new endeavors await you. Maybe there's some decisions that you're going to be making over the next year. Maybe there's some changes that you're going to make. Maybe there's some resolutions. Maybe there's just some dreams, some goals, some aspirations that you have for the next 12 months. Well, before you get there, before you set out and pushing forward in the new year, have you considered how this past year has gone? The first of the three things that we should consider tonight is, number one, to consider our perspective. If you read verse 2 with me again, it says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." For some reason, the children of Israel understood, they had heard the message already, they had known that God's command was for them to build God's house, but for whatever reason, right here they say it's not the right time to do it. This doesn't specifically tell us why, but I can see maybe from a little bit of Nehemiah that maybe they face some opposition. Maybe they get there after the journey from Babylon and they realize this building God's house thing is a little bit harder than I anticipated. Maybe they get there and they're focused on all these other things and they start off building the house of the Lord and then they get a little bit discouraged. Maybe they get a little bit tired. Maybe the weather's not the best that it should be and they slack away from doing what God has called them to do. And really where it starts right here is a change in their perspective. God's command was very clear in what they were supposed to do. They had the command of God to go and build His house. But for whatever reason, they said, it's not the time to build God's house. Verse 2, it said, "This people said, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." You know, I think of considering our perspective almost like the instant replay system in sports. As you watch a football game, undoubtedly, here or there, you'll see a coach start screaming his head off. Maybe he'll throw his headset, and he'll take this little red flag, and he'll chuck it onto the field. And what he asks them to do is to look at that last play from every possible angle so we can make the right decision. You know why? Because our perspective isn't always right. When you watch a football game, each player has their own perspective of what they can see going on. Each referee from where they're standing on the field has their own perspective of what just happened on that play. And then us that are sitting on our couch watching the TV yelling what we think just happened, we have our own perspective of what just happened on the field. And of course, Georgia always did what was right, and they should get the call to go their way. But we all have our own perspective based on what we can see. And as that coach throws that red challenge flag on the field, he says, take every possible camera angle, every perspective that you can get in order to make the right decision. Perspective is very important. Not just on the football field, but perspective is really important in life. We all don't have the right perspective every single time. I'm thankful that in my little limited vision of what's going on and what God has called me to do, my limited finite vision of what I see God wants from me, I'm grateful that God can see every angle even though I have a limited perspective. God sometimes puts people in our path that will help give us some perspective. Maybe a mentor or a friend that will help us see a better angle. But I just want you to first of all tonight, consider your perspective a little bit. And this idea of, do I have the right perspective based on what God has called me to do this past year and going into the new year. For Israel, like I said, I don't know what the problem was. I don't know if it was some opposition that they faced. I don't know if it just got difficult building the house of God. Maybe they just started to doubt God, thinking, well, if we're in captivity, if we've been captive for all these years and we've seen the gods of Babylon and we've seen their strength, and where's our God? Maybe they started to doubt God. But for whatever reason, something caused them to think it's not the time to build God's house, when God had obviously showed them not only was it a good time to build His house, but it was the exact right time to build His house. You know what we do sometimes? God calls us maybe to be a witness. We face some opposition. Think, oh, maybe it's not the right time. Maybe it's not the right place to lift my voice and share the gospel. Sometimes we make a decision, maybe in our giving. Say, no, I'm going to give a little bit more this year, and then maybe a bill comes up, maybe something comes up, and we think, ooh, maybe God didn't want me to do that. Maybe God calls us to make a decision, maybe to cut some sin out of our life or to start doing something extra as we follow God, and maybe time gets away from us. Maybe we gain a little bit of a different perspective and we start to think, maybe that's not what God wanted me to do. I brought up New Year's resolutions a few minutes ago because we all start in January maybe with some things that we think would be great to do, maybe some things that would really be good for us. But somewhere along the way, at least I know in my own life, somewhere things get busy, things get more difficult. And that great resolution that we had in the beginning no longer becomes as easy to do and as essential as it once was. But I hope that doesn't happen with our walk with God. I hope that doesn't happen with something that God has called us to do, something that we've set out to do for the Lord, either in raising your family or in your own personal time with Him, where you say, you know what, I know God wants me to do this, but as the going gets a little bit tough, we start saying, maybe God doesn't exactly want me to do that. I know that many of you know this, but I'm going to just say it for the sake of the truth that it is that God doesn't call us to do things and all of it's going to be easy. We know that God calls us to do hard things. As I was reading and studying for this, it said, I'm thankful that Abraham didn't turn around when it got tough as he left the land of Ur and went to the promised land. I'm thankful that Joseph didn't give up on what God had called him to do just in being a godly man of character when he was in jail. I'm grateful for the Hebrew boys that stood and that worshiped God instead of the wicked King Nebuchadnezzar, even when it was difficult. I'm thankful for the prophets like Haggai and many others that stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, even when nobody would listen to them and follow them. I'm thankful for the apostles that started so many first century churches and shared the gospel all around the world, even though they knew that it was most likely going to end in death. And I still often say, God, that's a little bit hard. I don't know if I should do that. What I need to do over the next few days and what I've started to do, I hope that you'll do. So start considering, is there anything this past year that God wanted me to do, that God wanted me to change, that God wanted me to start doing, that God has maybe specifically said in His Word that I started to say, you know what, maybe that's not what God wanted me to do. A quote that I've heard many times is, never put a question mark where God puts a period. If God's given a command, if God has given us a statement to do this, we should never question it and say, did God really mean that? That's exactly what the children of Israel did here. That as it got difficult, they said, did God really mean that? Their perspective was skewed. And the Lord delivers this message to Haggai, consider your ways. Have you considered your perspective of this year? Have you considered maybe your perspective of some things that God wanted you to do? Some decisions that God wanted you to make? Some ways that maybe God wanted you to live this last year? Has your perspective changed any? Does it need to change again? Number two, don't only consider your perspective, but number two, consider your priorities. Verse 3, it says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. I believe part of the reason that their perspective changed was because they got distracted and allowed their priorities to change. Their priorities quickly went from building the house of God to building their own houses. Now realize when it talks there about field houses, it wasn't just the fact that, oh, they had nowhere to live and they just needed somewhere to live. So they were building their houses and God was against that. The idea of field houses was that it was a fancy paneled house. Some commentators even go as far to say that these were some luxurious homes that they were living in. They went from caring about building God's house, using their extra, maybe their extra income or their extra time or their extra resources to put it into doing what God has called them to do, and instead they started to focus on building their own kingdoms at home. Their priorities were shifted. Like I said, we all get distracted. My generation gets distracted most often by this right here. I've seen it so many times at college where somebody will be looking at their phone and they'll walk in where we go to school, where we went to school, there was this long sidewalk with this overhang and there were all these poles about every 6 feet or so. And I tell you, I've seen kids walking, looking at their phone, reading something, boom, walk right into a pole. Talking to a friend, talking to somebody, they're looking at them, not even notice, walking right into a pole. I had a pastor, one of my mentors, and he said that he was driving a coach bus part-time as he was pastoring. And he said one time he was looking into his rearview mirror, saw this girl holding her phone, ran right into a coach bus. Didn't even see it right in front of her. So we all get distracted. We all get distracted by different things. Now, I remember in college, it was our senior year, we were at a church that was kind of in a rural area, and they had a college and career and then a high school guy's Sunday school class. We were all there together, and it was in the parsonage, and they had this big open window in the living room, and that's where we would sit right in the living room. That window would be open, and that's where we'd have Bible study. We're going over 1 John. We're about 30, 35 minutes into Sunday school, right in kind of the middle of the lesson, and we have this visitor, and he's sitting there, and he says really loudly, "Is that an ostrich?" And sure enough, right across from the church property in the neighbor's field, there was this big old ostrich. He got distracted. I'm sure if I saw the ostrich, I probably would have got distracted too. But we all get distracted. It's just a human tendency. We get distracted by something we see out the window. We get distracted by a beep or a buzz on our phone. We get distracted by all sorts of things. And some of those are harmless and it's nothing to worry about. But do we get distracted in our priorities of life? This last year, have you been distracted by something? Have you made maybe your own kingdom, your own house, your own finances, your own material possessions? Have you made those things more of a priority than what God has called you to do? They got distracted from God's purpose. This remnant was not by accident. This group that God had called to go back to the promised land, it wasn't like, oh, some of you just got in by accident. I don't know what you're doing here. God in His providence allowed this group to go back for the purpose of rebuilding His house. They knew the point. They knew their job. They knew their purpose. And there was nothing wrong with making sure they had food to eat and clothes to wear and something to drink. There was nothing wrong with having homes where they could live and be sheltered from the cold and from any danger or anything like that. There was nothing wrong with those things. Excuse me. But their priorities had shifted. It went from, it's good to have a house and food and drink, but my purpose is to build God's house. So now's not really a good time. I'd rather make sure my house is a little bit fancier. So now is not really a good time. I'm going to have so much food and drink and clothes, but it's never going to be enough. Your priorities have shifted. Happens with us all the time. Something becomes very important. because of either life circumstances or because of something shiny that catches our eye. We get distracted. Maybe a new hobby. Maybe something in your house. Maybe a possession. Maybe it's nothing that's really wrong. Maybe it's nothing bad. Maybe it's nothing that's detrimental to your life or to your family. But it's something that you've raised above the priorities that are in your life. You need to consider those. We all know our main priority should be our own relationship with God. Many of your priorities after that is raising your family, the relationships within your family, the different things that God has called you to do, whether it's serving Him in Sunday school or serving Him in master clubs or one way or the other, some priorities that maybe God has given you. Priorities God has given all of us to spend time with Him, to spend time in prayer, to be a witness. Do we let the shiny things of life distract us from the priorities that God has given us? This past year, has there been something that has mattered more to you than how God has called you to live? This last year, is there something maybe something new that's really caught your eye, that's grabbed a lot of your attention, maybe grabbed a lot of your resources, grabbed a lot of your time? That's not what God has called you to live for. Consider your priorities. Children of Israel, they got distracted. They go from saying, God, I don't think it's a good time right now, to focusing on their own little houses, their own kingdoms. Saying, God, I'll get to that later when my house is done. God, when I built up this amount of wealth, I'll get back to building your house. In verse 6, it says, those things you sow much and bring in little, you eat, but you have not enough, and you drink and are not filled. And it goes on. I don't believe that verse is there saying that they didn't have enough and they were, were starving. But saying that they were never satisfied. They always had to have more. They always had to have something else. They always needed more wealth, more money, more food, more clothes, more drink. They needed a nicer house. They needed a bigger house. While God's house stayed there in waste and ruin. Do we neglect the things of God for our own pet projects? Do we neglect the things that God has called us to do? Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's something big. It's different for all of us. But are you neglecting something that God has called you to do because your priorities have shifted? Consider the past 12 months. Consider maybe the past 6 months. Consider your direction for the future. What are maybe some goals that you have for this next year that are not aligning with what God has called you to do, but with something that you desire above God's will? Consider your perspective. Consider your priorities. And then lastly tonight, consider your practices. Look down at verse 7. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Really, when it comes down to our lives and to this year, and it comes to the perspective and priorities that we have in life, what matters really in the end is what you do. What matters is the decisions that you make that lead to action. It's good to have a moment where we say, okay, maybe my priorities are off. It's good to say, you know, God, maybe my perspective's a little wrong here, and would you help me? But those statements and those realizations should always lead to action. When God said, consider your ways, He didn't tell them, hey, just think about it. God didn't want these children of Israel just to look at it in their lives and say, oh yeah, I am wrong, and then just to go on with how they were living. God's desire was that they would make a change. We consider our actions or our practices. This is where sometimes we have to get a little blunt with ourselves and say, what am I not doing that I should be doing? God, is there something in my life that I am doing that I shouldn't be doing? Lord, maybe I have the right heart, maybe you have the right desire, something that you want to do, but is there something that's not getting done that God has called you to do? Is there a priority in your life that maybe you would give the right answer and say, yes, God's a priority, but maybe your actions don't show that? We all know the old phrase, actions speak louder than words. It's true. Our intentions, our perspective, our priorities, our heart, our minds can be in the right places, but sometimes our actions don't match up. And we have to change our practices. See, the children of Israel, they didn't just think about it. They didn't just change their hearts. They didn't just look at it and make a decision or think, oh, maybe I am wrong here. But really what they end up doing is they make some changes to what they're doing. They take some steps to make sure that God's house is built. It says in verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They changed not just their perspective, not their priorities, but they changed their actions. And that's where the hard part comes in. Hindsight is 20/20. We can look back and clearly say, oh, God, I've strayed a little bit. Think of the song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. We're all that way. And God, I've wandered a little bit. Lord, my perspective changed. God, my priorities, they're not where they should be in my actions. So we have to make a decision to do something about it. I can imagine as Haggai has preached this message, as he's told them, hey, consider your ways. God is telling us to consider what we're doing. And he challenges them and he talks about the drought that comes upon the land. I can see where these men, Zerubbabel and the other, where they step up and they say, I am going to stand up and do something about it. And I could just envision all these people going to the house of the Lord and working. Maybe some wood they had stacked up by their house, taking it to the house of God. Maybe some of their tools that have been on the outside of their house, adding something else, being taken from their house and taken to the house of God. Maybe some money that they were going to purchase something even bigger, even better, being taken to the house of the Lord and given an offering. I don't know exactly what was done, but they decided it was time for a change. And they made some hard decisions. Their faith, their obedience to God meant action. It meant that they had to do something about it. And God's message to them was not just think about it, but do something about it. And they did. And I hope this year, as you take maybe the next few days to consider some things in your life, as maybe God has brought something up to your heart, to your mind already, I know He has in mind, I hope that we all will make some changes of action. Some changes on our priority list, not on just what we would answer if somebody asked our priorities, but some changes in our priorities of what's evident by our actions. I hope we make some decisions of having a different perspective, not because it's, oh, I got some information from a friend of mine or I sat there thinking, but because God led us in a specific way to do this or to do that. We say, God, your perspective is better than mine. Considering our perspective and our priorities demands changing our actions. This small portion of Israel was called to rebuild God's house, but they got way off track. They got distracted. They made some wrong decisions along the way. They put some things above what God has called them to do. Some things that God had specifically said to them. And we all, if we're quite frankly tonight, we have a lot of things God has called us to do in His Word. We have a lot of decisions that we're supposed to make, a lot of ways that we're supposed to live. And it takes some action. It takes doing some hard things. It takes making maybe some difficult choices or difficult decisions. It involves sometimes giving up something that we want or something that we like in order to do something that God has called us to do. But God has called us to follow Him. And as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Father, He's worthy of it all. I think as we celebrated Christmas and we've thought of what it really took for Jesus to come down to earth and to die for us, as our minds have maybe meditated on that great action of what Jesus has sacrificed for us, of what God has done, of the love that He's shown to us, He's worthy of every change that we can make. He's worthy of being the top priority. He's worthy of us considering these things and looking into our lives and considering the direction that we're heading. God is worthy. He's worthy of making some hard decisions. I think as I look at this passage and as I close here, get ready to pray, I know I've really preached this mostly to myself tonight. I need to consider some things over the next few days. I'm sure all of you have been very busy over the last week. Time with family, traveling, maybe just days where they've been jam-packed, whether it's been shopping or whether it's been going to and fro, maybe just spending your vacation making memories. I hope over the next few days you'll take a quick step back just to consider some things in your life. Just to think about some things. To ask God, God, I don't see it right now, but is there something in my perspective that's off? God, is there something that I'm looking at in life that maybe is not what You called me to do? God, is there a priority that's misplaced? Lord, is there something I'm valuing more than I'm valuing You and the way that You want me to live? And I hope that we'll put some things in place to make some changes. Why, so that we can better love and serve God in the next year. It's hard to believe that 2022 is wrapping up. Just a few days left. The next time we gather in here, it will be a new year. We'll be looking forward to the exciting things that God has for 2023. Feels like 2015 was yesterday. But don't forget over the next few days, just take some time for introspection, just some time to look back, to think, not to dwell on the past. If you have some maybe misplaced priorities or maybe some things that you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that this last year. Not to beat ourselves up over it. Not to sit there and mope around and wallow and say, man, this is a terrible year. But just to make some decisions and go forward in the next year. Forward by faith. That's been our theme this year. And I hope that we'll continue into the new year going forward by faith. Walking after the Lord, following after Him, and just living for Him, putting Him first. It's exactly what He wants us to do for the new year, and I hope that we'll consider some of those things tonight.